Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Well, as we continue our study in the book of Colossians, I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll be looking at the first 7 verses in today's lesson. Colossians chapter 2. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If you remember our last lesson, we talked about ministry, and the theme was commitment to ministry. Well, today, our theme is about being passionate, about being passionate for the Lord. The Apostle Paul was committed to ministry, as so should we. He was willing to suffer and to serve, speak and struggle for the church at Colossae. William Carey, who has been called the father of modern missions, has been credited with saying, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." As Christians, it's not enough to be a spectator. We have plenty of those. We don't need any more spectators. God wants us to be participants with him in the work of the ministry. And remember, the work of the ministry isn't what we do, it's what God does through us. Paul wanted the recipients of his epistle to be passionate about their relationship with Christ. Well, beginning of verse number 1 and into verse number 2, we're going to learn that passion breeds courage. Let's look at verse 1 again. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted. Now, when we look at the term heart here, usually in today's culture, we think of the heart being a person's emotions. But actually in the Bible, the word heart is a reference to the whole person, not just his emotions, but to every part of him. And so it's beyond just the emotion. Paul says that we need our hearts, our whole person, to be comforted. That was his desire. The word comforted is the idea of exhorting and comforting and encouraging. I like that term, encouraging. So this conflict that Paul had, this burden that he had, this desire that he had to help those in Colossae, to help those in Laodicea who had not seen his face in the flesh. Here was the problem. The false teachers that were creeping into the church there at Colossae, they were there. They could talk personally to the believers and try to lead them astray. Yet Paul was stuck over 1,000 miles away under arrest in Rome, and he was writing this epistle, writing this letter, dealing with something in a situation there in Laodicea and in Colossae where the false teachers were there in person. It seemed like a pretty huge obstacle to overcome. But you know, as I pondered that, there was some positive things about Paul writing this epistle instead of being there personally. For example, we have the epistle today. we have the Word of God today. And the nice thing about the Bible is, if we might forget what somebody tells us face to face, but when you have the Scriptures, you have a record. And you can go back and you can look at the record, say, what was God telling me? What was the Apostle Paul trying to get to the Colossian believers? And we have a record of exactly what God wants us to remember, what the Apostle Paul was teaching them. So I think depending on how you look at it, it's a real blessing that Paul wasn't there. And now that we have the book of Colossians that we too can look to as authoritative. But this comforting that he's talking about, William Barclay wrote this concerning what Paul was saying here. Here's Paul's prayer for the church, he writes. And in it we distinguish the great marks which should distinguish a living and faithful church. It should be a church of courageous hearts. Paul prays that their hearts may be encouraged. The word which he uses is parakalene. Sometimes that word means to comfort, sometimes to exhort. But always at the back of it, there's the idea of enabling a person to meet some difficult situation with confidence and with gallantry. One of the Greek historians uses it in a most interesting and suggestive way. There was a Greek regiment which had lost heart and was utterly dejected, and the general sent a leader to talk to it to such purpose that courage was reborn, and a body of dispirited men became fit again for heroic action. That is what parakalene means here. It is Paul's prayer that the church may be filled with that courage which can cope with any situation. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a passion that breeds courage. And that's what Paul's conflict was about, that their hearts might be comforted, exhorted, and develop courage in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm talking about passion today. Are you passionate about Jesus? Secondly, we should be passionate in love. Look at verse 2 again. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Can't help but take you to the book of Psalms. We're looking at Psalms 133. Psalms 133. In Psalms 133, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible speaks about love. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And then in Colossians, we'll move ahead and look at a verse in chapter 3 and verse number 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And the word charity there means love. We are to be passionate, knit together in love. When you think about your situation, I think about my situation in the local church that God has placed me. I want to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. There's plenty of troublemakers out there today. That's not what God has called us to be. He's called us to be a unifier. What are we unified about? About Jesus. We're unified about the Word of God. There are so many things to bring us together as believers in Christ. And I want to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. John Philip, his commentary on the book of Colossians, he wrote this, and I want to share it with you. We cannot unravel our lives from those of other believers. We come from different social backgrounds. We have different levels of education. Often we have been raised in different countries and cultures, but we are knit together. A woman like Mary Magdalene is made one with a woman like Mary, the mother of Jesus. A man like Simon the Zealot is made one with Matthew the publican. Peter the doer is made one with John the dreamer. We share a common bond. we need to be passionate about love. And then thirdly today, we need to be passionate in our salvation. We're back in Colossians chapter 2, looking at verses 2 and 3. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Passionate in our salvation. The key words here I want to call your attention to is full assurance. Full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. What's he talking about there? Talking about the salvation that we have in Christ is not I hope so salvation. Rather, it's I know so salvation. Well, I think the Gospel of John can throw some light on this. Gospel of John is such a wonderful book when it comes to the work of Christ and salvation. But in John chapter 5 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ says, verily, verily. And notice whenever he says, verily, verily, he's saying this is truly, truly. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Bible makes it clear, and if we had time, we could look at several other verses in Scripture. But the Bible talks about salvation as a present reality. It starts at the moment that you are born again. It starts at the moment that the Holy Spirit comes within you and he seals you. At the moment that you accept the Lord as your Savior, that is the moment that you possess eternal life. Does that mean you go to heaven at that very moment? No, but you're assured of heaven that very moment. If you're still in the book of John, look over to chapter number 6 and verse 47. Jesus says again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It's not I hope I'm saved, but you are saved if you've trusted the person and work of Christ. C.I. Scofield put it this way, the mystery of God, he's talking about the mystery that Paul is referring to in Colossians chapter 2, the mystery of God is Christ as incarnating the fullness of the Godhead and all the divine wisdom and knowledge for the redemption and reconciliation of man. My friend, we need to be passionate about Christ. We need to be passionate about that salvation that we have in him. It's because of our relationship with Jesus that we have assurance of our salvation, to spend eternity with him who loves us more than anyone else can ever love us. We need to be passionate. Passion breeds courage. We need to be passionate in love, being knit together one with another. We need to be passionate about our Savior and the salvation that he has such freely given us as believers. And then there's something else. We need to be passionate about the truth. About the truth. In Colossians chapter 2, we're looking at verse number 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. The false teachers were the beguilers. They were the ones that was trying to rob them of the truth of what we have when we have a relationship with Jesus. Full assurance of our salvation, full assurance that we're right with God, full assurance that we've been reconciled to God, comes from being convinced of the truth. David Jeremiah said, it's hard to do much for the Lord when we're riddled with doubts about the integrity of Scripture. We must be convinced of the truth, and the truth sets us free to be greatly used by God. My friend, we must be passionate about the truth. And the truth is both the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and no one comes to the Father but by me, but also the word of truth, which is the scriptures that we have. We need to be passionate about the truth. The truth needs to drive us in what we believe and what we do, and that comes from a knowledge and submission to the word of God in our lives. And this translates, all of this passion translates into being passionate about our faith. And this is what we read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, build up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Passionate about our faith. He says here, steadfastness in verse 5 of your faith in Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Our lives are to be built on him. When he becomes the foundation of your life, you have something to build upon. But my friend, if you're listening today and you're not a believer, and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you're building your life on sand. You're building your life on something that will not stand the test of time. But if you're a Christian today, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, whatever you are in your life, if you're building on a foundation, your life can amount to something pleasing unto God, and we need to be passionate about that. We're to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the message of Paul's letter, that these believers in Colossae, even though false teachers were trying to bring in false doctrine and to bring in error and to bring in that which was not true, he's encouraging them, build your life on the foundation, and that foundation is truth. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, walk ye in him, be passionate about your faith. And there's four different ways he illustrates that, and that's what we want to look at here in this last verse. He says here, once again, in verse number 7, rooted. Now, when we think of the term rooted, we're looking at an agricultural term. When you take a plant and you go to the store and you buy a plant or growing from a seed a plant, but you take that plant, whether it's in a pot or you bought it at the store or whatever, and you plant it into the earth, you plant it into your garden, you plant it into the ground, and there it begins to take root and grow. And that's what we're to do as Christians. If you look with me in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians chapter number 4, look with me at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And this was happening at Colossae. There were those that wanted to beguile them with enticing words that were untrue, that were false, that would lead them astray. And Paul's telling us in the book of Ephesians, don't be a tumbleweed Christian. Don't be a Christian that's tossed to and fro. Be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then next, he uses an architectural term. Now we're back in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7 again. He says rooted. And then he says, and built up in him, built up in Christ. This is the idea of erecting a building. We said the Lord Jesus himself is the foundation. Well, let's see what we can learn here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 about building upon this foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. For other foundation, Paul writes, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now let that sink in for a moment. There's no other foundation. Anything besides the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing but sand. It won't hold up. It won't hold up in the storms of life, and it certainly won't hold up for eternity. If your life is going to count, if your life is going to result in eternal life, it's only because you have built your life upon a firm foundation. And there is no foundation that can stand the test of eternity except that of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have an architectural term, an agricultural term, rooted, build up. And then the third thing we have here as an illustration of being passionate in our faith is the teaching aspect of it. We're back in Colossians chapter 2, looking at verse 7 again. Rooted in Christ, built up in Christ, established in the faith as ye have been taught. Now, this is a school term, the one you may or may not enjoy, but learning is part of the Christian experience. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, Paul, when writing to Timothy, emphasized the importance of learning the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, referencing the Bible, he says, all Scripture, bear in mind he's talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it came from God. It's God-breathed. Didn't originate from man's imagination. It was God-breathed, given to these men who penned it under the inspiration of God and the Holy Spirit. He says, and is profitable. What's it profitable for? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Boy, that covers a lot. That the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, as a Christian, whether you're teaching a Sunday school class or you're in a Sunday school class, it makes no difference. We all are students. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us through His Word. And that's all that we're doing here today, is the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's the one who takes the Word of God and impresses upon us those things that we need to learn. And then finally, in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7, he says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The idea of abounding is the picture of a river whose waters has gone beyond its borders. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We'll call this a river terminology here. It's the idea of a river flooding. And we're to be abounding like a river that's gone beyond its banks. And this is a picture of how passionate we should be in our faith, because it's the Holy Spirit working through us that does things we could never do were it not for God doing it through us. And that's where I want to be today, and I hope that's where you want to be. The idea of serving Christ is not what I can do. It's putting myself in a place where God can use me in some way to further His kingdom. Why? So that He gets all the glory. There's nothing that we have the glory of. It's God's ministry. It's God's work. But He has chosen to use people like you. He's chosen to use people like me. And trust me, if He can use me, He can use you to further His kingdom. So I just want to encourage us today, as Paul did those in Colossae, be passionate. Passion breeds courage. It exhorts you. Be passionate in love, being knit together in love. Be passionate about your salvation. Be passionate about your Savior. Be passionate in the truth. And be passionate in your faith and your daily walk with Christ. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.